everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, hello.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos on IG. Email us at afrosandconvos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandconvos.com. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Great.
My arm a little sore.
Why is your arm sore?
You know, I just got that phase one of this vaccine. I'm gonna be out in these streets soon. You hear me?
Hello. That's awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, it is time for Trending Combos.
Yeah. And
I am going to go first. So let's start off with the fact that we are or just had our second mass shooting in a week. So for those who don't know, which I'm sure there's not many of you, but in Boulder, Colorado, there was a shooting at a grocery store called King Supers, which is basically the Western version of Kroger. And it resulted in the death of 10 individuals. And the gunman entered the store with an assault rifle. It's one of those things where it's just like, Why do we have access to assault rifles? I don't know. It's just it's one of those things I don't know. It's rough. It's rough though. But currently, President Biden has called for stricter gun laws, which is basically going to be the same song and dance where there's a tragedy that struck. There's a call for stricter gun laws and then nothing. And basically, there's already been, a couple of laws that have passed the House that are receiving pushback from the Senate. Like, it's probably not going to pass the Senate, and it absolutely has to pass the Senate in order for that to happen. And in order for it to pass the Senate, they're going to need Republican support to overcome a filibuster that is still in place that would prevent that from becoming law. So it's just a lot of politics that are being involved that it's just like, we're talking about people's lives and we're talking about assault rifles that just really, really doesn't make sense that a civilian needs to have possession of. Even those arguments that I constantly hear from people who I engage in conversation about gun laws in terms of, well, if the government has it, then I want it. But sis and mister, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Even if you have an arsenal of assault rifles, there's one of you or like one of your family versus the entirety of the U.S. military. What are you going to do?
Oh, they're saying they would have it in defense of themselves against it.
Yeah, that's the whole. Yeah, that's a lot of the reason why people will not give up an assault rifle, or they argue that they should have access to assault rifles because the military and the government has access to them. So,
yeah, I mean, the government bombing whole communities. I mean, it ain't gonna be nothing to take your little house out and your family.
Exactly. Like, so.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things. I hate to be cynical about it, but it's one of those things where I feel like if Sandy Hook didn't do it when 20 children lost their lives, like babies, not even like we're talking babies, elementary school students lost their lives and that didn't result in anything. I don't know what will.
You know, some folks said Sandy Hook wasn't real.
And people gonna say that this wasn't real too. So
yeah,
I mean, I just wanted to, you know, bring that to attention. Obviously, we want to address it and make sure that we acknowledge it. Thoughts and prayers are with the family. It's rough because honestly, I'm in Colorado right now, and it's like wall to wall coverage on the local news stations about it. And it's just it's rough. It's heavy. So, But yeah, so moving on to a little lighter news. I just want to say my fave Issa Rae out here inking deals, honey. Signing deals on a dotted line. So Issa Rae has landed an 8-figure 5-year deal with Warner Media. 8-figure, $40 million. She's going to be developing TV projects via her production company, which is Hooray Media. Her deal includes first look deals for feature film products, which means that basically if Warner Media comes up with a film idea and they think Issa is going to be a perfect fit, they got to give it to her first. Same with her. If she writes a film piece or project and she is looking for it to be produced, she has to take it to Warner Media first. So it's a win-win deal, and a win-win deal for me. Issa says that she's writing projects for Warner Brothers, Picture Group, New Line, and HBO Max. And Issa Rae basically says that HBO has been supportive of my work since the very first general meeting she had. She's thrilled. And she's thrilled not only to spread her creative wings with the network, but she's also thrilled to be able to produce culturally resonant stories with new voices that incite exciting conversations. And, you know, her stories in Insecure, that is a movement. Anytime Insecure airs, it is a whole conversation that is launched on Twitter. So I'm excited for it.
To see how far she's come from starting on YouTube, my gosh, you making boss moves like that within what, like a 10-year period? That's freaking awesome. But I did see Cookie, she posted on her story, she was just like, she doesn't release how much she makes, so any kind of figure attached to the deal is cap. So I don't know if that 40 mil is accurate or not.
Well, that's not, the 40 mil doesn't necessarily mean what she is pulling in salary. It is the overall deal
package of the, shout out to her, that's awesome, man. I'm here for it. All right, cool, I'll go next. So Evanston, Illinois, on the 22nd, became the first city in the country to approve reparations for Black residents who have suffered from racial discrimination practices stemming from slavery and just during the segregation. By an 8-1 vote by the city council, they have approved the first phase of a 10-year, $10 million commitment towards just restitution for Black residents who suffered from specifically discriminatory practices for housing in the city between 1919 and 69. So the first phase, they're like giving out an installment of $400,000 that'll be dispersed in 25,000 allotments for residents to use towards like home improvement, mortgage assistance, anything that can kind of help Black residents build up equity in their home, as well as just repair things in their home. And the money is supposed to be generated from a 3% tax from the selling of recreational marijuana sales. So Evanston has a population of just over 75,000, with about 12,000, which is about 16% of them being Black. So that's a huge step. There is one person. The one person who didn't vote is an alderman, Cicely Fleming, an African-American woman who pretty much was just like, she's not here for it because she feels like the definition of reparations is the people are the one who dictate the power to power what is needed, as opposed to the reverse. And she feels like the residents aren't actually getting a fair trade-off, and this is not actually reparations. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts concerning like this move as a whole, as well as what, you know, Cicely Fleming's like stance on this is not really reparations. She's not here with it.
I was just going to say, the one thing that I would say that took me by surprise is that they're putting parameters on what they're doing with their money, or what they can do with their money. Mm-hmm. While I understand that you want the black residents to use it for wealth building means, that makes sense. But I don't believe that the government should be telling you what to do with your money, especially when you are, when reparations is supposed to pay back for damage that you've done. I don't think that you should be telling me what I'm supposed to do with this money. So right. That's my the money. One thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it's tricky. It's tough though. I mean, theoretically, yes, I understand that. And yes, it absolutely seems like an overstep or an overreach as far as the power that the government should have, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that the outcome could be positive. I mean, but also, I mean, it does create limitations. Like, what if I don't want to buy a house, but I want to invest this in myself and my growth of my business and my company and my whatever else I'm doing. I can see it from that aspect, but but I mean, I also think that it will probably save it from also not being used in a way that's wealth building potentially.
Yeah. Like I appreciate it. I think that's huge because ain't nobody else doing it. And I mean, they're targeting, I mean, racism affected every facet of this country and the history of black people in this country. So they're targeting one aspect of how it manifested itself with the housing and, you know, redlining and segregation and all that stuff when it comes to lack of loans being given to black people, lack of being able to build on land for those who were able to own homes, all that. I get it. So it's like they're focusing on one aspect, and I'm interested to see if how else that $10 million will be dispersed or what other measures they'll take towards giving reparations to address other issues. But I think it's a huge step. I think it's awesome. But I also can see how, like, you've given me $25,000 and you're telling me I gotta like fix my home and pay my mortgage. What if my house is paid off? What if I ain't got nothing to fix? Now what do I do with this $25,000? Do I have to give it back to you? Like, what does that look like? So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. And I didn't know Illinois had legalized marijuana sales. So I was just kind of like, I still don't know if they had. I didn't look that up, but I was just like, 3% of a tax, is that, I didn't know y'all had legalized that. So even that is interesting. It's like, if, what if you don't get $10 million in 10 years from that 3% tax? What does that look like?
Oh, if it's legal, they gonna get it.
Yeah.
They gonna get it.
That's fair.
There are certain qualifications you have to get those reparations. And one of them being that you have to show proof that your family was in this state or a resident of this state from 1919 to 1969. I wonder how many
within that period or across that whole period?
Within that period, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, within the period.
So I'm like, dang, if you don't got no, what if all I got is a picture of grandma standing outside? You know what I mean? So I'm interested to see how strict those qualifications are going to be in handing out those reparations too.
Yeah, which I understand where the alderman is coming from in that I'm interested to see what that breakdown of those 9 city councilmen are, because, you know, we've had conversations about rich white people giving money to HBCUs and they keep pumping money to the same HBCUs that don't need it. Well, if you have a body of people that are predominantly white who don't understand the struggle and they're the ones that's creating this new program, they don't understand the potential difficulties of black residents to be able to trace back ownership documentation, approve things and all that stuff. So I'm sure there are going to be some, you know, lots of holes that they got to fix if they do. And potentially there's going to be a lot of people that can't get the funds because of whatever requirements they can't meet. But yeah, I thought the fact that we're at a place where it's not just conversation, but cities are actually moving forward with it. Mm-hmm. That's huge. My next piece of news. So I was listening to Van Lathan and Rachel Lindsay's podcast, Higher Learning. And Van Lathan asked a question that I thought was really interesting. And, you know, along the lines of, you know, getting vaccines and trying to get back out here in these streets, I was also thinking, when I do get my second shot, will I actually feel fully like, oh yeah, the pandemic's over, or comfortable or whatever? So he asked the question, and he said, and I was like, yeah, I gotta ask the girls, because I want to see what their thoughts would be or their answers. So the question is, when will you feel like the pandemic is over? Like, for you, like, what is the thing that you're like, yeah, this will mark the moment that I'm like, oh, okay, cool, things are back to normal,
when we reach herd immunity?
That's cooking. Have you did you listen to the episode?
No.
That's crazy. Rachel Lindsay literally said that, and Van Lathan went for her head. He was like, this is supposed to be light and funny, you over here making it, but okay. That's fitting. Go ahead.
Right before this episode, I was looking at some pictures in my phone, and I saw a photo of, I don't remember what concert it was, but it was a concert that I was at Bridgestone, and it was one of those moments where they're like, turn your camera light on, and so it's just like the sea of everyone in the arena with all of their lights on. When I feel like I can go to that, when I go to a show like that, when I'm in a sold out Bridgestone arena and I'm not like, do she got her mask on? What is it? For me, the pandemic is over.
So when you feel comfortable enough to purchase a ticket for a sold out.
Yep.
All right, Camille, what about you?
When there's a significant decrease in deaths in the Black and Brown community from
COVID-19. Yeah, y'all are just so smart and educated. Dre, like, when I can go screaming in the middle of that.
I'm not gonna feel comfortable. I agree with Dre, but I'm not gonna feel comfortable doing that until we reach herd immunity. And I'm not gonna feel comfortable being like, well, I'm probably gonna wear my mask in the wintertime anyway, going forward, because them flu numbers look real attractive, honey. But yeah,
I agree. I with Dre. I think for me, when I'm like comfortable in a crowd setting of people that I don't know,
what's a crowd? Because I mean, I've not been in a group larger than 7 or 8 individuals in the past year. So what do you constitute a crowd? Because if I'm with 10 people, I'm looking around.
Yeah, I was gonna say 10 or more people, 10 or more random people that were like in tight space, then yeah, I'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm good. Because going to a restaurant, standing in line, I think I can still distance myself enough or sit in a place that's somewhat secluded enough to be like, oh, okay, I'm not too around people. But when you close, tight-knit with folks and they rubbing elbows and shoulders with you and thighs, then yeah, I'll be like, okay, I think the pandemic's over. So
when you willing to go to the escape game and not buy out the whole room?
Yeah, the one where you like crawling through the tunnel and they gonna come right behind you breathing. Yeah. That's when I'll be like, yeah, we're good. That's interesting. Kabila, Cookie, y'all just too smart. Last piece of news. So Tanzania has elected their first ever female head of state in one Samia Suluhu Hassan. She was the vice president, but their president recently passed after some weeks of, you know, speculations about his health. But I just want to shout her out. She's the first female head of state, actually, not just in Tanzania, but in East Africa, I believe. And she's currently the only female head of state in all of Africa currently serving. Yeah, because I believe the other ones they've termed out. And there's another female head of state in Western Africa, I believe, but there are arguments about if she's actually considered one of power because her position is much like the queen, where she's kind of a show thing, and she doesn't actually have power, so they don't consider her a female head of state. But I thought that was awesome news that I found out about this week, and just wanted to, I'm always going to give some shout outs to strong Black women that are being put in leadership, as we should be. So that's all I got.
Well, since you're talking about strong Black women, might as well start off with Kim Janey, who became the first Black and the first woman to become mayor of Boston. This is a big deal because Boston is hella white.
Hella white.
She's actually ending a 91-year succession of Irish American and Italian American mayors.
91 years.
91 years.
Wow.
And then That's not at all surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. It's hella white. And one of the statistics that they had, which was a part of her platform, was the wealth gap. So in 2015, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston found that the median net worth for white families in Boston was $250,000, compared with $8 for Black families.
Oh my gosh.
I was just going to say, $250,000 median net worth, that's high. Yeah.
That's Boston. Very high. Yeah, so a lot of
MIT.
Yeah, very educated white people. $8?
Eight.
I mean, most people have like negative.
I'm about to say eight is kind of high for the Black community, to be honest.
I'm about to say, what's the national average?
It's probably negative or zero. Yeah,
it's low, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in a place like Boston, that kind of, because that's where. Top education,
yeah.
Top hospitals.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, we didn't get $10. I thought we was gonna make it to the 10 in Boston. But shout out to Kim. Do your thing. We're excited to see what comes from Boston. Maybe I'll actually go visit again. Next thing we have, Virginia has become the 23rd state to get rid of capital punishment. This is very interesting because Virginia is like number one for actually using the death penalty. They have killed nearly 1,400 people since the founding of the colony in the early 1800s. And when it was Virginia Commonwealth, they killed about 1,390, so still that 400 and that 1,400 people. They are followed only by Texas. Surprise, surprise. So they're actually one of the first states in the South to get rid of the death penalty. So we'll see how many other states follow behind.
Huh, I wonder what triggered that. That's interesting.
I do too. Okay, my last piece of news. I know you guys have heard that they have been trying to the Biden administration specifically has been trying to get, you know, give out monthly stipends to low income families. So Oakland is actually about to give it a try. So they're about to give out $500 a month. I think they're going to do it for a year to a year and a half to people who are in Oakland that are under the $59,000 income, like a family of three that are Black or brown or indigenous people. They'll get a $500 monthly stipend, and they're going to see how this impacts the economy. So it's a random selection. You do have to fit within that income bracket. But I'm interested to see what comes about of that. And I wonder what led Oakland to do that.
You say it's random selection. What does that mean?
Like, they're going to just randomly select people that are in this category. Like, you can't go apply for it. You can't.
Oh. Okay. It's just like a test. It's
probably just sample for a study.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for a year and a year and a half.
Wow, that's awesome, because California is expensive, is it?
Especially Oakland.
Yeah,
the Bay Area is really, really expensive.
Yep, so they're going to start out with 600 people, and we'll see, you know, if it does what people hope that it does.
I wonder how they're going to track the impact on the, like, overall economy.
Me too.
For I mean, are these people going to have to report where they spend their money?
I don't know. That would make sense. That's what I would think, but I don't know. There weren't specifics listed. Yeah.
Well, I don't I don't know if a year is long enough to study that, especially depending on what situations or circumstances people may be coming out of. You can be paying off debt for a year. Yeah. You can be spending a year just trying to dig yourself out of the hole, which yeah. that isn't necessarily going to stimulate. Paying off debt does not stimulate the economy.
At all.
So you need to actually be spending that money on goods and services. So yeah. that's interesting.
Yes.
I'm interested to see how that goes.
But honestly,
and I just hope it doesn't go like there was no impact because people are paying off debt and then they're like, well, this doesn't work. We shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say like that the year I think is too short, but it's an interesting concept to do like a trial study with giving folks money. Like how you yeah. do trials for vaccines. I mean, we've heard all kinds of shit about trials this past year, but a concept of doing trials for all of these programs that we've talked about in order to track the data, instead of just looking at the data as where these are where the gaps are. Let's try to find a solution and do a test sample size for an extended period of time to see what that data looks like, instead of just yeah, like, yeah. we're just looking in this vacuum. This is what the problem is. Let's just throw some solutions. Like, let's try to test some solutions and see what that does. I think that's an interesting concept. And yeah. if some people benefit from it because they're getting a couple $1,000, then, you know, hey, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think history has perhaps shown that it's necessary
yeah.
because the spending habits of people isn't as predictive as it was once thought mm-hmm. to be. Because I remember it was probably around the Great Recession in 2008 when mm-hmm. the Obama administration issued stimulus checks in order to stimulate the economy. And they had run all these models, and because there's this whole thing in economics that dollars deplete as they are recycled multiple times mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. this economy as they're spent, the percentage of impact it has at every level. So, I mean, of course, they had run all of these extensive charts and like, oh, yeah, this yep. is gonna giving this much money will boost the economy by this and this and this. And it 0% worked. Well, zero. Like percent, that's not an actual accurate number. That's an over exaggeration, people. But I mean, like, it didn't work
yeah.
because they did yeah. not account for the fact that people saved the money or people paid yeah. off debt. Most people yeah. paid off credit card debt with the money mm-hmm. and it like 0% had the impact on the economy that they expected it to have.
Yeah. And the second yeah. save, so like you said, like, and that has no yeah. impact on the economy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that history has shown you can't just look into the minds of people and think that you know what they're going to do with their money, because
yep.
you really don't. A model or a graph isn't necessarily going to show you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because even with this recent stimulus check that Biden just issued, I've read articles, there have been several of them that were saying that most people are going to save their money that they've gotten, that $1,400 multiple by dependents and stuff. So, yeah, I feel like especially with something like we just came through, most people are just terrified of not being without. So they're more than likely going to put it away than put it back into the economy. So I'm even interested to see what they define as, you know, putting it into the common economy or stimulating the economy,
but
they'll adjust it.
Honestly, I think that the one-off stimulus checks is more likely to lead to people paying off credit card debt and or putting in savings account. That's why even studies show that instead of giving one-off big chunks of money like that, you should increase the benefits of unemployment, because the people who are receiving unemployment are actually spending on goods and services. They're paying mm-hmm. rent. They're getting food because they don't have a means of
yeah.
income outside of yeah. the unemployment. So if you increase that, and then with the giving a smaller amount in monthly increments over the course of a year, is even going to, I feel like, have a greater impact probably than giving a one-off stimulus check where it's like people aren't expecting this chunk of money. So let me just put it off in my savings account because I'm still getting mm-hmm. a salary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This will be an interesting study to watch and see how that unfolds for sure.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
Definitely.
And then also, When did it say it was going to start? Did it say when it was going to start?
I don't think so. Let me double check.
They should let the pandemic end and a little bit of recovery
happen. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. The pandemic is going to skew the numbers because, I mean, in a place like California where homeless numbers are astronomical because people literally just don't even have a place to live. I mean, I think things need to recoup a little bit before you are going to be able to collect accurate data. Yeah.
They said launching this spring and summer.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really
soon. That's like tomorrow.
And for at least a year and a half.
That's interesting. Well,
okay. I have one story. I'm struggling with these cords right now. I'm sorry. Okay. I have one story. I don't know. Well, I'm sure you all have all seen it, especially since we actually talked about it before now. But it's the what's going on at the NCAA tournament. So I originally saw it on TikTok, which I think is where it like kind of blew up first. Just the discrepancy between what is being given to the male athletes versus what's being given to the female athletes. The biggest thing that a lot of people were talking about was the workout facilities. For the male athletes, their workout facility was, I mean, it was bigger than a ballroom. Like it massive. Was, I mean, it was like,
it was like two, three ballrooms.
It was huge. It was massive. There were all kinds of different types of equipment, weights, like everything. This entire room just full of things for them to use. And the female athletes, like, you would think it was a joke. They literally had a fold-out table with some yoga mats on top of it and one set of free weights. One set. That'd be like a 10 and a 10, a 15 and a 15, a 20 and a 20. So, like, if I got both 10s, there ain't no 10 left for you. Like, just one set of free weights, and that was their entire workout facility. And even more than that, they showed on TikTok the swag bags that they got, and the girls' bags was like, they got like two water bottles, they got some deodorant, they got a drawstring bag, they got a couple of towels. It was just like, I mean, that was pretty much it. There may have been one or two other small items. The guy swag bags took up an entire bed when they laid it out. They had shoes. They had all kinds of stuff. They didn't just have like one little thing of deodorant. They had like four or five, like 10 different types of deodorants and colognes and like all kinds of stuff. Like it was insane the amount of stuff that they had on. They had a hat. They had like a whole blanket. They had body wash, sunscreen. They had all kinds of stuff.
They gave them the basketball and the court. They swag bag. They so gave the girls an air pump.
Basically, pump that joint yourself.
It was insane. And then the types of food that they were being fed, there was photos of that circulating online. It's just like these are athletes. I would think that you would try to feed them something that's actually going to fuel their bodies. But it was crazy. And so then from TikTok, it kind of blew up on Instagram. And I know a lot of the WNBA players were posting about it and saying, this is crazy. Like, what can we do? Vanessa Bryant was posting, like, what can I do? Can I give y'all some stuff? She was trying to give the women some shoes, which shout out to Vanessa Bryant.
Shout out to her. My God.
Kobe was definitely a champion of female athletes. And she has absolutely continued that legacy of his. Even after his death. So, I mean, just shout out to her for being such a great advocate for female athletes. But she later said that there are certain gifting rules that restricted her from being able to give them all some shoes and what she was trying to do. So after this whole thing went viral and blew up, the NCAA basically put out a statement saying, well, our restriction of the female workout facilities is because we didn't have space. There wasn't space for us to be able to set up an equivalent facility. So then the same girl I was following before went back to the TikTok and said, well, it's interesting that you say that because this was like, she showed like the practice court and then then she said, this is the workout area, which was that same table with the free weights. And then she turned around and the entire other half of the facility was like completely empty. There was nothing over there.
Room for days.
What? Like literally the equivalent of another basketball court size area was wide open and empty. But you want to put out a statement saying that you don't have space, so that's why you haven't been able to build them an adequate facility. Like, that's trash. So then after she put that out, and then, of course, people was talking about that. Then later, some days later, it was like, oh, look, now we're building y'all something. And, like, they were actually, like, putting forth effort to actually build them an adequate workout facility. But just like, the fact that it had to go viral for you to think that this is a problem. The fact that you literally, you probably would have been better off just saying, like, y'all not getting a workout. When you can, like, that probably would have gone over better. Like, you don't have a separate facility. Wait for one of these dudes to get done and get on over there. But you get them some yoga mats and a handful of free weights. Come on now. What do y'all have to add on that?
Yeah, this is interesting because I play ball and my brother playing ball. We have a lot of conversations like this about just the WNBA. We've made jokes about it as well. Like just the disparity, how much they get paid, why that is, all that stuff. And we were talking with,
they don't get paid no money because they don't make no money. But
keep and that's fair. And with the March Madness going on, the you know the men's tournament versus the women's tournament coverage, all that stuff. And we've had conversations of what will it take to get the WNBA making more money, to get their name respected, to get female athletes, as specifically when it comes to basketball, as intriguing and as entertaining as the WNBA seems to be. And when you talk about college basketball, and I remember telling him, I was just kind of like, it's going to take solidarity from the NBA players as well as the male college players, which I was impressed to see, like, NBA players like Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving and some other ones speaking out like, yo, this is trash. Something that I believe, like you were nodding, Vanessa, Kobe would have 100% done. Kobe probably would have showed up to that facility like, who do I need to rip into? But yeah, I saw that and I was like, I wasn't surprised initially, but I've seen it. But when they released the statement and then she came back and showed like, nah, there's hella space. I was like, that is so disrespectful that y'all didn't even try to come up with some kind of statement that wasn't easily disproved. Like, no space. Like the girls just going,
you didn't come with an apology. You came with an excuse. That's a lie.
Like, y'all care. The argument is you literally don't care about female athletes at the same level, even when we're close. You come out of your way to make a statement and you prove that even further by lying. And lying, such a basic lie, like, we ain't got space? Are you kidding me? Really? Yeah, so I don't know what the NCAA is going to do, or movement or whatever, but I thought it was trash. I think the way female athletes are treated is trash. And shout out to that player that outed them. Shout out to the Georgia Tech coach who wrote a post basically going in on the NCAA saying, this is further proving how you do not care about these women and their skills and all that stuff. And I'm really interested to see moving forward solidarity with the male athletes and the female athletes to not have conversations like this anymore. Cause that's y'all giving them frozen dinners. Like, they gave them frozen Salisbury steaks. Like, y'all, this is top tier athletes who have to perform in a tournament right now where they're playing a game every other night as they advance. Like, y'all are trash. You're disrespectful. And there's, upsetting to say the least.
My thing, first of all, the NCAA response was stupid because the whole reason why this even went viral in the first place is from TikTok. And you think that she ain't gonna get on TikTok after you make this lie to show that you lying? That was dumb. Exactly. That was
and it's like, it's not even like a restricted area. Yeah. It's literally the area right next to their practice court. Like, what?
She just turned the cameras like, actually.
That's just even from like that's just a dumb PR move. Like, that was just really stupid. Even
somebody need to be fired.
Exactly. Y'all made a mistake in the first place, but then the second place, y'all don't understand social media, clearly. So that's number one. Number two, I would like to think that this ain't gonna be a conversation going forward, but it is. Sports world is a microcosm of society, and women are still fighting for equal pay, for equal work currently. That is very much the same thing. And I want to say that we joked about the WNBA. We did. We joked about it, and we talked about how they weren't getting paid because they weren't pulling in money. And we talked about things that they need to. This is different because the NCAA is over both men and women.
That's fair.
Money that they pull in from both men and women can be distributed more equally than we're talking about separate entities. Now, I know at one point in time they were related, but they are current. The WNBA is not run by the NBA. So that's completely a different situation to where you have the entity that is pulling in money and distributing based off the money that the athletes are pulling in versus the entirety of the NCAA that is making money from both men and women. This is that's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. But I mean, again, this is going to be a conversation moving forward. They literally, women just got the proper uniforms like a couple months ago. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of even being able to have uniforms, even being able to have separate facilities to not have to shower in front of men. All of these things it's going to keep happening. It's going to be a continual conversation. And I just hope that next year y'all don't do no trash ass shit like this, because you understand the power of TikTok at this point now. And if TikTok ain't around next year, something else going to be around and you're going to get caught up again with the woman. Y'all see the woman that was on, she went on something, issued a statement. It was a Zoom thing because she had like a virtual background behind her and she was crying. Talk about, we made a mistake. And we love our women athletes. She was like she was like the vice president or something over female athletics or something along those lines. Something high up in connection with female athletes. And she was up there crying.
They won't fire her. That's why.
So if you up there crying, I would hope that next year you get it together. So you ain't gotta cry no more. So
ain't no next year. She got fired, sis. That's why
she ain't gonna get fired over that. Like, she ain't gonna get fired, but because they wouldn't, that she was all on CNN and all of everything. She ain't getting fired, but
I mean, but if you cared that much to be moved to tears, then you should have seen that there was something very wrong with that from the beginning.
Absolutely,
there's something wrong with it if the women have half as much as the men have. Yeah, but they didn't. I mean,
they didn't have a quarter.
No over exaggeration. It was literally some yoga mats and some free weights. The end, point blank, period. You'd be better off using the app working out in your hotel room than going down there to the facilities that they provided.
But y'all, it all comes down to money, though. So even though NCAA is one entity, who brings in the most money?
I don't care. Honestly, no. But they are a multi-billion dollar non-profit organization. That is bullshit. Non-profit. They ain't paying. That's bullshit. And then you don't allow the players to make any kind of money off of nothing? I don't care who's pulling in. I don't care if only the football team is pulling in money, which the football, they pull in more money than anybody. I don't give a damn. There should be a more streamlined way, or at least some. I'm not saying it has to be 100% equal, but it shouldn't be that. That was ridiculous.
It is. But next year they may get McDonald's instead of frozen meals, because the way that it works in nonprofit, most nonprofits, is that when I give you money, I allocate where I want my money to go and what I want you to do with my money. And most of the time for the NCAA, it is not towards the women.
I understand that you allocate, but what that girl showed was probably like $100 at Walmart.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. They
ain't spent $100 on that. They spent $25 on Amazon.
Yes, and got it. They probably forgot they were supposed to do it. Ordered it the day before. It's like, oh yeah, get that delivered. Rush, and we'll pick. Yeah, just let just drop it right there.
Y'all got same day delivery.
And then in terms
of the workout facility, they fixed that shit and they brought them workout equipment, so they could have done it.
Yes, for the workout facility. But then when you even go to the campus, I remember going at U of L and going into the basketball dorm. It was beautiful. They got chefs. They got I was just like, how the fuck is this still the campus?
But that's the school.
That is, but I'm saying those same funders, they fund the sports program. Those people who fund the NCAA, they fund the male program because there's a return on their investment. I'm not saying those women should be on the yoga mats that was probably $5 and probably really, really thin and they should fill the concrete. I'm not saying that they should only get 1 5-pound weight. What they did was wrong, but I'm saying based on money, if we look at who brings in money and how money is allocated, it is not allocated towards the female athletes. No, they should not be
eating that.
No,
that
they should not have a yoga mat.
That is fair if we are talking about, and then that's a whole nother thing. All of these athletes are bringing in money. The male athletes are bringing in, sure, they're bringing in 10 times the amount of money. But the fact of the matter is they're not even getting paid. So
this is true.
It's literally, we're talking, and then even with the workout facility, you pay for them to have the workout, you can reuse that or sell it. This, because we're not talking about salary that is going to somebody who you're not going to get the money back. Like, even if you are purchasing workout equipment and then you're going to hold it in a facility for next year, or this is equipment that, and then they can write that off on taxes. Like, this is all bullshit. They can literally, there is no reason for them women to get treated the way that they got treated, because everything that the NCAA provides them can get written off. So that's complete bullshit. I don't care who bringing in what, whatever. No, unless we talking about paying them salary based off of what they bringing in, you can at least take care of them, because at the end of the day, you're still making money off of them. Even if you're not making as much money off of them, you're still making money off of them and not paying them shit. So the least you can do is feed them a little filet mignon the way you feed them.
Oh, that was a rousing conversation.
Right there at the end, eh?
All right. Well, we are going to wrap up this segment of the Trending Combos, and we will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.